fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show. And I'm Jim Fuel, back with a weekly look at the world of non-league football. We're at the last 16 stage of the FA Trophy and the FA Vars. And just like an all-stopping metropolitan train at Harrow on the Hill, Wembley is just a few stops away. We return to the clubs that we've not spoken to for a couple of years, but are back on the trail of success. First up, chairman at Morpeth Town, Ken Beattie, speaks about his multiple decades with the club, including 30 as the chairman, and the appointment of his young current manager he thinks will go far. Under Ken, the club have won the FA Vars. Could this step three side cause another upset this weekend at York City and go one step further towards fulfilling his dream of an FA Vars and FA Trophy double? If the FA Trophy gives a chance for dreams to become reality, then the FA Vars probably has that extra added fairy tale magic. Helping us understand where that magic may be strongest is Phil Annetts, wearing his at FA Vars Fact File hat and giving us an insight into the 8 games ahead this weekend in the FA Vars. We also speak to Pat McManus, manager at Brockenhurst Town, currently challenging in the Wessex Premier League for promotion, but also one of the only sides to compete in every FA Vars since its conception, and they're hoping to go further than ever before with a trip to Littlehampton in the way this weekend in the last 16. Over 400 games in charge at the club, building the club, community and young footballers, his is a story that every non-league fan will love to hear. Rounding it all off with insight about the National League, managerial changes and what's ahead in this weekend's non-league paper, it's senior writer at everybody's favourite Sunday Read and everybody's favourite senior writer. It's Mr. David Richardson. Much to come, so sit back, relax and let's get matters underway. So let's start this week then with the FA Trophy and seeing Boreham Wood chairman Danny Hunter applauding his side after their FA Cup victory on Sunday, I thought it important that we celebrated the men at the top this week. So my first guest is an old friend of the show who's been on an upward curve for a number of years, but there's plenty of bumps in the road and plenty of experience of maybe more difficult times. This weekend, they travel in the fifth round of the FA Trophy to York City in the hope of continuing their history-making run in the competition this season. It's a warm welcome back to the Non-League Football Show to chairman at Morpeth Town, Ken Beattie. Welcome, Ken.
Yes, welcome. Good evening.
Good evening to you. Now, I think the last time you were on the show, Ken, was December 2020, ahead of your then historic FA Trophy game against Notts County in the third round. But that was behind closed doors because of the pandemic. And the last round, the fourth round this year, the furthest you've ever been in the competition, you had Boston United as your visitors. You beat them 4-3, then in front of a bumper crowd. I mean, how satisfying was that to do it with the fans?
Well, it was great. It was a great day for us. That was probably the second biggest game in our history, the biggest game being the FA Vars final against Hereford in 16. And, it was a fantastic day to beat a club of the calibre of Boston. Great game it was. And, you know, people say it was the best game they've seen for many, many years. So great day, great day.
And you're now away to York City on Saturday. And that's another different dynamic as well with the fans. You know, cup games and away days like these, they're the wonderful memory makers, aren't they? Are the coaches booked and trains booked for that trip?
Yes, well we've got 7 or 8 coaches going down there. There's people going by train. So we'll have about 400 Morpeth Town supporters at the game. Great day to look forward to. We've already been there earlier in the season in the FA Cup, drew down there, lost in the replay, but you know, it's going to be a good game, 2 footballing sides, so really looking forward to the day.
I was going to say about that, what are the chances of drawing the same side from a higher level in 2 different competitions? You say that was the FA Cup fourth qualifying round, a 1-0 draw up there, and then they beat you in the replay back at your place. But I guess that means that you know that you've got their match as well.
Well, that's right. I think, you know, we know that we can give them a good game. It's going to be a hard game. But, had them watched a number of times since the draw was made. So we're confident we'll go there and really give a good account of ourselves. It'll be a good day. And as I say, we've got players hopefully coming back from injury. We've had a few injuries of late. And we'll be ready for them.
What about you during that game? You know, as a chairman, you know, I mentioned at the top there about Danny Hunter and seeing him applauding his side at the end of the game. But as a chairman, are you one that likes to wander around and mingle with the away fans?
Oh, yes. I've already made my mind up. I'm going in with the away fans on Saturday. I'm not going in the boardroom. That's left to the directors. I'm going with the lads and the lasses who are there on the stand, and I'll be applauding with them. That's the way I like it for these big games.
And then there's something in me that's sort of a little bit worried for you now. I mean, if you win that game, you're suddenly at the front of the queue at the bar, I'd imagine.
Oh, definitely, yeah. They're already asking me, what are we going to do? What are you going to do for us if we win? So, without doubt.
And it's Thursday evening now when we're talking here, and I'm guessing your lads may be practicing penalties in their final training session, because three of your five wins in this season's FA Trophy have come from winning penalty shootouts. It's that's quite an achievement of its own.
Exactly. Yeah, we've you know, historically we haven't been so good in penalty, but this season we've been fantastic. You know, Tim, three games, Bromsgrove, Warrington, Lancaster all went to penalties, and you know, we scored on Tuesday evening with a penalty again when we beat South Shields. So, you know, we're up for us. We're certainly up for penalties this season.
Yeah, you mentioned that win in the week against South Shields up there at the top of the Northern Premier League. I think they'd got a result at Buxton, who was similarly up there challenging at the weekend as well. But for you to get that victory, and you were down to nine men at one point as well, I think that probably shows the quality of your team and your squad at the moment, and also the resilience, which is perfect going into one of these FA Trophy games.
Definitely, you know, when you're up against the Central High League, you've got to have resilience, and we're really up for it this season. We've come from behind in games, and we've got a very, very decent, resilient side. Lads who have played at higher levels are now with the team, and we know that we've got a battle, and that's what we're up for, and we'll certainly be putting on the style as well. So we understand the importance of it.
Yeah. Well, like Boston United before them, York City are a step above you, but they've got a new manager in place in John Askew, who we spoke to on the non-league show recently. Yeah? I mean, he knows non-league. He knows the pitfalls of playing against lower clubs, but there's still he would have done plenty of research and scouting, I'm sure, on you guys. I'm sure that there were probably a number of people there on for your game midweek. Are there still one or two surprises you may have up your sleeve, particularly with these lads coming back from injury?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, obviously, there's one or two lads, there's three players going to be making themselves available that weren't available for the last two or three weeks. So, you know, we've got ex-Football League players like Ryan Donaldson coming back, who was a key player for us. You know, he's been a big player at Hartlepool. Before that, I think he was down at Cambridge, etc. So he's going to be a big player for us. So he's a key guy going to be in the side on Saturday, I think. And we've got other lads coming in like Joe Walton, who's been with us for a number of years, a very good attacking fullback. So, you know, we're really looking forward to these guys coming back to the team.
Yeah, I can hear the excitement in your voice as well. But with your chairman hat on, the FA Trophy, it's not as lucrative as it should be, perhaps, but by my calculations, I think it's probably, £20,000 of prize money you've maybe collected in this year. I know that, I know personally from my own club, that doesn't touch the sides in the current economy trying to heat, light and run a football club. But I'd imagine it wasn't something you were budgeted for and is most welcome for whatever club.
Without doubt. I mean, it's not the best prize money. It's nothing compared to the FA Cup, but certainly it's important. You know, you're right. It's about £20,000 that we've made this year from the competition, but it's still important to us. It's a lot of money, although, as you say, it doesn't cater for all the things we have to bear, including coach, you know, travel and all that sort of thing right throughout the season. So very important to us, and hopefully it will continue.
Plenty of history still to be made, and hopefully this weekend that will continue. But remind people, Ken, how long have you been involved at the club? I don't want to make you feel old, but I'm not sure I was even alive when you first put your blood, sweat and tears into Morpeth.
I was a player in the 70s and 80s, and then retired from the game after playing 16 seasons for Morpeth. And then I was invited to become a member of the committee in 1992, and then after a few weeks I was chairman. So I've been chairman since 1992, and you think the 90s not being long ago, but it's 30 years I've been chairman. So it's a labour of love for me, but it's a passion that I love, you know. So it's been a long time.
Yeah, and I mean, the club, you know, back when you were first involved, it was in the Northern Alliance, which is step seven in the modern pyramid. And now you're at step three, looking to continue that rise and make it into the National League. Do you ever stop and pinch yourself and think about how far you've come?
I certainly do. I mean, I compare the old days when we, you know, played in a little park in Morpeth, and we moved up to our new ground in 92. You know, looking at the game on Tuesday night where we had 1,700 people there, I have got to pinch myself sometimes because I look at the facilities. We've achieved a lot as a club, and it's all been changed. You know, we've come a long way since those early days, and it's great. You know, and the town is behind us. You know, we're getting good average crowds every home game, taking fans away with us. So the club's come a long way. It's great.
And that's important. You know, on the field, success is great, of course. But, you know, then you've got, every time you go up, you've got ground grading. There's increased red tape, which I know we've spoken about many, many times.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And you need to be able to match it off the field too. And it's important to, you know, it's nice for me to see that you've continued that gradual improvement, both on and off the field.
Well, Doug, I mean, you've got to be as good on off the field as you are on it. And, you know, it's all about fundraising. It's all about getting revenue from other sources other than spectators. So we've done that. We've got an academy there where we're doing skills with the kids and bricklaying and joinery and mechanical engineering. We've got a marquee there where we're having functions, weddings, funerals, anything to bring revenue into the club. And obviously, the extra crowds comes the extra sponsorship. So we're very, very active in trying to make money. That's the only way forward.
But going back on the field, now you say you've been chairman for 30 years, and back in mid-September, you were bottom of the table in the Northern Premier. You brought the new man in Craig Lynch, initially as a caretaker, and now your first team manager. That's got to be one of your best decisions ever, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it was obviously Stephen Turnbull. You know, he was a great player, Stephen, and he was doing a good job as manager as far as, you know, the training was good, everything was going well, it's just the results weren't going for us. And Stephen came in after I think we'd lost seven games out of eight and said, look, you know, for the benefit of the team, I think I need a change. So, you know, good lad, he resigned. And we brought in his assistant, Craig. And Craig, you know, has got a lot of experience as a player. He played in the Premiership for about four games for Sunderland. He's come in and he's done a fantastic job, as you say, and he's really got them organised. He's tactically knows is excellent. So it's been a good decision, as you say. You know, it's been excellent.
Yeah, and you say about his experience as a player, and I think he'd done four years ago as a manager and then assistant manager, as you say. But, I mean, he's still younger than, you know, anybody, you know, as a manager, he's 29, so he's still got so much to give.
I know. He finished playing when he had three successive ACLs. But as a player, he's a gifted player, and at 29, he's got so much to give. We'll have to try and keep a hold of him because I'm no doubt there's clubs looking at him because, you know, we've gone, we lost one game, I think it was to Nantwich, when we conceded early in the game and couldn't get the goals back. But since then, you know, since before that and since then, we've gone, you know, beaten South Shields and went 20 games unbeaten.
You are, because of that poor start, you are ninth in the division at the moment. It's all week in, week out, we talk about how difficult and how tough a division it looks to get out of. But with that form, with that, the South Shields result sort of, shows a lot about the spirit in the side. Is promotion, is that what you're aiming for this year? Or is the FA Trophy maybe your focus?
Personally, I think the trophy is more important to us now. I think it's very difficult because, as you say, every game is difficult in this league. It's a tough league. Injuries, we've had COVID problems, you know, we've got suspensions. So it's going to be difficult for us to get in that top five shape for the playoffs. Mm. But we're trying. We're still going to go for it. But I think for me personally, this game on Saturday is the biggest game of the season for me. But we're still going to be trying for the playoffs.
Yeah, and AFC Fylde did it, but you mentioned that the FA Vasa win at Wembley against Hereford when they were like a train at that point, weren't they? Nothing could get in their way, but you did and you won it. So is it, have you had that dream where you're the chairman that's done the FA Vasa FA Trophy double?
I certainly have. I mean, it was a great day that day, you know, when I played Hereford. I think I'm biased, but I think it was the best final, FA Vasa final ever. It was over 40,000 there, and what a day, particularly against a club of Hereford's stature, you know, coming back as a Phoenix club. It was a special day. Having tasted that, want to go back again, and it would be great to do bring that dream to reality and bring a Vasa and a trophy winner.
So you got 30 years under your belt, plenty of years ahead of you. The team's on the up, you're successful on and off the field. Where can Morpeth end up under the Beattie reign?
I think we can get to the conference. You know, we've got the setup now. We've got scope to develop that setup further. And with the right decision making, and I just look at Gateshead, we've got a good side, and they've got young lads who've been released from clubs. And I think that's the secret, bring young lads in who are going to be able to develop. The perception is with Gateshead, they're an ex-Football League club. We're driving the fact that we're a very progressive club and we want the young lads to come to us. And that's the way forward, I believe. And so we can get the conference, I believe, at least.
Well,
and maybe beyond.
Well, we certainly look forward to following the story, Ken, and speaking to you again in the near future. But in the meantime, best of luck at the weekend, and hopefully we'll follow the journey to Wembley for you.
Thanks very much indeed. Thanks, Tim.
So as well as the FA Trophy this weekend, we also have the fifth round and last 16 of the FA Vasa. A realistic chance now firmly in sight for the teams from Step 5 and Step 6. So who are the clubs to watch? What trends are on their side? And where will the headlines come from? Who best to tell us than our very own resident stat man? It's a welcome back to the Non-League Football Show at FA Vasa Fact File, Mr. Phil Annetts. Welcome back, Phil.
Hi, Tim. How you doing?
Good. And excited about this one because it's 16 clubs, two of them, I think, from Step 6. And it's just probably the biggest weekend in many of these people's lives.
Well, yeah, definitely. 16 clubs and half of them that are involved in this fifth round have never gone further in the competition. So it's a great opportunity for FA Vasa history to be made for many of the clubs that are involved. And in fact, six of them are in the fifth round for the first time ever. So it's fantastic to see a whole fresh, different set of clubs having a chance to get all the way to Wembley.
Yeah, a nosebleed time there for some. And we're always looking ahead to hopefully sunnier times and at the end of May for non-league finals day. Yeah. This isn't a competition that clubs tend to dominate year after year, mainly because, I guess, success often means a move up the pyramid. But there are two previous winners still in the competition, and they face each other.
Yeah, it's the irony of the competition, isn't it? You've got two past winners, North Shields and Rugby Town, who go head-to-head. So, obviously, only one of them will be remaining. And as you know, I've said several times before about the fantastic nature of the FA Vasa is that every time we get a final, there's always been a brand new name competing for it. So, you know, there is only going to be one former winner in the quarterfinals, and we only have two other clubs that have competed in the final before, in Southall and Tunbridge Wells, who can carry on with the chance to get back to a final and to Wembley. So it seems it's on track to continue that record of there being at least one brand new club in the final.
Yeah, we talk about the magic of the FA Cup, or the magic of the FA Vasa as well. And this round has it's got a proper cup feel to it, hasn't it? All eight ties drawn have resulted in every club facing their opposition for the first time in the FA Vasa, and quite probably, I would think, for the first time ever too, with no clubs from the same league drawn to face each other.
That's exactly right. It's quite a quirk of this round that we've got all eight ties where there's never been an FA Vasa tie between any of them in the past. And again, you're right that we've got clubs who are playing different teams from different leagues. And that's because we've got such a spread of leagues, but also, quite surprisingly, we've got five clubs still standing from the United Counties League. which is definitely the dominant league this season in the competition. And but they've all been separated, so they could all continue in through to the quarterfinals.
Yeah, what a day that would be if if there were two clubs from United Counties League made Wembley. Yeah, there's still a distinct possibility. But there's some names with tradition that people would have heard of over the years. But then there's the other, like a club like Loughborough Students, who are fairly new to the whole pyramid setup.
Well, yeah, they've been around for quite a while under the Loughborough University name. But yes, this is uncharted territory in the FA Vars, that's for sure. They've only ever been as far as the second round before, and they are involved in one of the ties where the winner is guaranteed to be in the quarterfinal as they take on one of the two-step six sides in Abbey Hay, who have only ever been as far as the third round before this season. So there's one tie where you've definitely got history to be made. And then another club who has not competed in the Vars too often is Withenshaw Town, who are in their 14th campaign, and they travel to Amsterdam Nomads, who we know have got to be previewed in one of the early rounds to still be going. But again, the winner of that tie will make it to the quarterfinal for the very first time. So history again will be made at that venue.
Yeah, I always try and bring relevance in of our non-league knowledge and chats to the rest of the modern world elsewhere. And everybody's talking about Wordle nowadays. And that tie earlier on today when I was looking through the ties, I'm thinking Anstey Nomads. That's the sort of phrase that you'd want to use as your opening word. On Wordle, because you're getting a number of those high usage letters out, and and then Withenshaw Town as well. It's just got that magic to it as well, and that is the FA Vars.
Yeah, I've come up with quirky stats on names and numbers before, so I've not associated with Wordle in the past. But yeah, there are some great ties. I mean, you've got Coventry Sphinx taking on Whitchurch Alport. I mean, both with unique suffixes. Mm. Having a chance to get into the quarterfinals, and you've got Coventry Sphinx. I think they've had one of the teams that's scored 19 goals so far, with Callum Stewart playing for them. He's scored two hat tricks already so far in this competition. So they'll be looking to continue that trend. It's fantastic for them. And then you've got Southall versus Stansfeld, and you've got a team in Southall who've been around for years, 150 years, like the FA Cup. And then you've got Stansfeld, who are relatively new to the FA Vars, and this is only their, I think, third or fourth or fifth campaign. So, fantastic difference in history to face each other at this stage of the competition.
And Stansfeld is, I think, one of the step six sides as well. Is there, I suppose this year it's different with the restructure. We've got just a step five, step six competition, but... is there any history of step six sides going even further in this competition, or are they going to make additional history by being a step six side that gets into the quarterfinals?
I think there has been a couple of step six clubs actually lifting the trophy.
Okay.
I think AFC Fylde might have been step six when they won it, but I'm not 100% certain. I'd have to check the numbers. But yeah, I think definitely feel like there's been a couple of step six clubs who have gone on to win the Vars and then gone on to bigger things post doing so. So it's not unheard of for step six clubs to be in the final itself. So there are only two and they're both drawn away, so it's going to be tough for them. Mm. But this season, anything can really happen. There's still many of them have started in the first qualifying round way back in August. They're still going. So it is an open competition, as I've always said, egalitarian competition. Mm. And anyone who's in it has as much chance of winning as anyone else. Mm.
And you mentioned some hat-trick scorer earlier on, and shortly we'll speak to the Brockenhurst town manager about their game down at Littlehampton, who's sort of the last rearrangement with that appeal that went through. But just looking at the goals that those two have scored across the league this year, I mean... Any stats on the number of goals that have gone in the FA Vars this year that we need to be aware of?
Well, I'm not sure there's anything unusual in terms of goal scoring feats this season than any other, if I'm being honest. But we've got Coventry, Sphinx, and Rugby Town and Abbey Hay have all scored 19 goals each as the top scorers in the competition. So, there's goals are plenty around there. So we expect more this weekend, though, I would suspect.
Yeah, and I'm guessing this weekend, last weekend, FA Cup and non-league, everybody that had any interest in football or even breathing wanted to talk about non-league football to me. I'm not sure I'm going to have the same discussions about FA VARs, but if there's one fact that I should try and entertain people with about the FA VARs this weekend, what would you recommend?
Well, there's two clubs still standing that have participated in every single one of the 48 FA VAR seasons. So you have Tunbridge Wells and you have Brockenhurst FC. And the big stat for Brockenhurst is that this is the first time they've made it to the fifth round since they did so in their debut campaign 47 years ago. So a fantastic stat there for you to share with your friends and non-league lovers.
A fantastic stat, and a fantastic stat man to tell us all about it, and probably the only man that would have found it and revealed it all to us. I don't apologise for repeating this a bit week after week, but because it's a goldmine of information that deserves to be heralded, Phil. Where can people read about all your great stats and facts work on both the FA VARs and the FA Cup?
Well, I'm very, very busy on Twitter, so you can get all my VARs facts from at FA VARs Fact File, and you can get my FA Cup stats from FA Cup Fact File. And I do use the FA Cup Fact File WordPress.com blog for providing you more detailed stats across both competitions.
Definitely somewhere that you need to, you should have it bookmarked already on your browser or whatever you're using, but well worth a read week in, week out, and keeping abreast on Twitter as well. Phil Annett at FA VARs Fact File, thanks for joining us on the Non-League Football Show.
Good stuff, Tim. Cheers.
So let's stay with the FA VARs and another old friend of the show, and this time it's back to the dugout, a side close to my heart and indeed close to my home. It's a club where the term non-league donkey refers to the herd of asses and mules assembled in the road outside rather than the hurly-burly centre-half that may be playing. And they've been banging in the goals to set up a challenge in the Wessex League this season and now also find themselves in the final 16 of the FA VARs. It's just a few steps from Wembley. So it's a warm welcome back to the Non-League Football Show. Manager at Brockenhurst Town, Mr. Pat McManus. Welcome back, Pat.
Tim, hello. How are you?
Good. How are you? Last 16 of the VARs. That's a tremendous achievement from a club that, I mean, really every definition of a small village club.
Yes, we are. We are. And we're obviously we're very pleased and excited to be where we are, to be fair. So.
Yeah, and it's been a long time in the making. I mean, something we rarely get to report on nowadays, even in non-league football. Clubs doing things the right way. I think it was it round two at this year's competition when you beat Brimscombe and Thrupp in the VARs? That was your 400th game in charge of the Badgers. I mean, that's quite some achievement.
Yeah, I didn't even know, Tim. I didn't know it was my 400th game, but it's just sometimes it feels a lot more than that. But no, I've enjoyed every single one of them, to be fair, when I reflect. But it's a good place to be. Like I've said to you on the times that we've met, it's a nice place to be. It's a good place to manage. It's a great club to be at, and the club kind of has got under my skin, and I can kind of remember the first time I walked in there, and I've enjoyed it, and this season has been particularly enjoyable because I feel like we've done all the graft to get to where we've got to this season, and we've managed now. We sat down pre-season and said, right, we're in good shape now as a club. Let's concentrate on the senior side, and that's what we've done. And I would suggest we're reaping the benefit of all the. You know, the slog we've put in prior to this season. So
yeah, and it's interesting what you say when you first went in there that you felt this thing. Whenever I, people know what I do at the non-league, and whenever I say where I live and sort of effectively you're probably my nearest club as a non-league, they've always got great stories from playing at Brockenhurst, in some cup competition or something. There is a it is one of those clubs that's well thought of across the non-league pyramid.
Tim, it just seems that everybody I bump into now, whether they're crikey, it doesn't in such a large radius that they all seem to have played for Brockenhurst at some point, no matter where they're from. It's, you know, whether the other side of Bournemouth or the other side of Southampton, they always said, "Oh, I played there in this season, that season," you know, and when they're talking about the Vars and the I think it was the 1974 side who got to the previous round last time when we were at the New Milton game, I bumped into a couple of chaps who were at the club during that time. And yeah, so many people have said, "Oh, you know, I've got great memories of being at that club, etc." So yeah, so many people have played there, and from so many different areas, and they've gone there, played, and left, and been back, and go there to watch games. It's incredible, really.
Yeah, and you touched upon it earlier there. I said the 400 game in charge. You've been there a long while. I remember when I first moved locally in the summer of 2015. I think I was. I think you chucked it in at one point and then had to be persuaded to come back as manager. But it's been a it's not been a period full of glory at Brockenhurst. You've not been there sort of racking up the trophies, but you've been building young players, a reputation, and a club. And as you said, I sense it's all coming together now. You're doing well in the Wessex League. You're doing well in the Vars. And you know, as Phil Annetts has reported previously in recent shows, Brockenhurst are the club that have competed in every single FA Vars competition since it began.
Yeah, I think I've had this conversation goodness knows how many times lately about success. But I think for a club like ours, success is subjective, really, because we've done what we've done with a finite amount of resources. When I first went in, I don't think I'll be upsetting too many people if I say it was a bit of a car crash. You know, the club was heavily in debt. Now the club's debt free. When I first went in there, it felt a bit like it was a football team within a venue. It was kind of detracted from everywhere else. The team was just rocking up. The social club was felt very separate to the football side of it. And now that's in one. There was no reserves, no youth section. And now there's teams from under five right up to the senior side. It's all everything's aligned now, and that's what I said the whole thing is in a really good place. And throughout that period that we've been there now, we've produced some really good players, and it's not a coincidence now that we've got players in the current senior side who are, you know, 19 years old with 150 Wessex League appearances, and we're reaping the benefits of that now. And we've got these players that are fully engaged with the team and the club, and don't want to play anywhere else. And, you know, we've had clubs approach them and they don't want to go, for any amount of money. And we're very lucky to have them. And like I say, we're reaping the benefits now this season. And it's, I would suggest this season is probably three or four seasons in the making.
Yeah.
And pre-season, I sat with the committee of which I'm a member, and I said, look, we probably just need to introduce a spine to this team, and then let's just see where it takes us. And now, we're in February now. You know, we're sat in joint second, and we're in we're in the last 16 of the Vars. We're in the semi-final of one cup, and we're in another cup, and we're in really good shape. But not only in good shape as a football team, we're in really good shape as a football club. So we're all sort of really pleased with where we're at.
Yeah, and it's also, you're not doing it it's sort of alone either, are you? Because I'm looking at the Wessex League on a regular basis, and it's you've got Hanworthy United at the top of the division at the moment. They're also in the last 16 of the Vars this weekend, which shows the strength of the division. But yeah, I'm looking at you, Hanworthy, Horndean, yourselves, Baffins, Milton Rovers, Bashley, who've now got non-league legend Matt Tubbs in as a player coach, and Shaftesbury. The top six there, all averaging over 2 points a game, and it's so tight at the top there.
Oh, it's an incredible division this season. I think, personally, anybody who finishes above Hanworthy will win it. But I think there's probably, like you say, I think there's probably five teams in the frame for that runners-up position. And I think it'll probably go to, I'd be very surprised if it doesn't go to the last weekend of the season. Mm-hmm.
And you're banging in goals as well. Four at Bournemouth last weekend, four at Cowes midweek. And it's goals coming from around the team as well, which is always a sign of a team that one's playing well, but one playing together.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Well, you know, I think at the beginning of the season, we were labelled as a one-man team because we managed to keep hold of our number nine, Silvano Obeng. Which I felt was a bit lazy to label us that way because we've got a lot of goals in the side but now it's, you know, Silva's not a surprise to most teams in this division, but now he gets a lot more attention from other teams and other defenders, and that just opens up opportunities for other players in our team. And I was just looking at something earlier on there, and at step five, you know, step five clubs nationally now. You know, looking at our Vars fixture at the weekend, you've got Littlehampton are the top scoring club at step five level, and we're at number six in the top 10. So yeah, there's some goals in both teams really looking ahead to the weekend.
Yeah, well, I was going to come on to that. It's certainly a mouth-watering tie, isn't it? Coming to that weekend, it's probably been the toughest preparation for any game, because you only found out late on Tuesday who your opposition were going to be for sure, with the appeal from Newham Athletic about the that was dismissed over their ineligible players, and it was expected, but you know, again, FA decisions, you never know which way it's going to turn. But you've got that trip now to Littlehampton Town this weekend. Have you been able to scout and prepare as you would have hoped?
It has been difficult because, like you say, we didn't know which way we're going, so we've had to do work on both teams really, which isn't ideal. You know, and both of those teams really knew who their opposition were going to be, and we've had to prepare for potentially two sets of opposition. But we're okay. To be fair, I've got plenty of information on Littlehampton. Ultimately, you know, I know they lost to Newham Athletic quite heavily, but you know, they're top of their league. You know, they've scored 103 goals. They're top of they're 7 points clear in their league. Their top goal scorer, I know he got injured against Newham, he hasn't played since, but you know, Joe Benny scored 55 goals in 35 appearances. So, you know, even if they strap him up and roll him out against us, you know, players of that caliber are still going to be a threat. So we'll see what if he's presented against us on Saturday. You know, and I also know they've got, based on the same rule that Newham fell of, they've got a few other missing. George Gaskin, again, another goal scorer. He scored 32 and 37. He's missing, but I'm sure they'll be working to get someone in. So we're expecting possibly to see someone from step four who they've brought in. But if they don't, they're still going to be a massive threat that we're fully prepared for. So they're a good side, very good side. You know, yeah. Regardless of the score against Newham.
But it's all very exciting, isn't it? I mean, yeah. The last round was a big potential banana skin. You had local rivals New Milton Town, who a step below, but a club very much on the rise. And then you've got this trip to Littlehampton on Saturday. And it's experiences like that, when you say that you've got, you know, lots of 19, you know, young lads in the side. Experience like that help build young players and give them a taste of what it's like beyond just the league football week in, week out.
Oh, definitely. Like I say, they've got good experiences over the last 2-3 seasons. They've been in cup finals where we've won but via penalty shootouts. We've had, I think, over the last 2 seasons or the last 3 seasons in the bars, we've gone through via, I think, 4 penalty shootouts. So, you know, they've had a good grounding, really. So whatever way we have to do this on Saturday, we'll have to do it. And there'll be no shocks or surprises, and whatever we're presented with, we'll go about it, and we'll see what happens. But there won't be anybody in our squad that gets caught in the headlights, that's for sure, regardless of age.
So we're Thursday night now. You're chatting to me. You'll be out, I guess, shortly taking training. You mentioned the penalties. You obviously beat Street on in the third round on penalties, and no replays, of course. So penalties, are they part of your preparations? Is that something you do at the end of the night, at the beginning of the night? Is it, you know, is it a fun thing? Is it a factual thing that how do you do that planning for penalties and sort of that eventuality nowadays?
Well, we beat Horndean in the first round as well on penalties. We're obviously in our league as well and going very well with us. We don't put any pressure on them at all, Tim, to be fair. We've got lads who are very good technically. We've probably got 5 or 6 lads who would like to be on penalties in our team. So we won't practice tonight on penalties. In fact, our session tonight is completely analytical, because we've actually played 10 games in 5 days already. So tonight's just about recuperation, because we don't want to arrive Saturday fatigued. The fixtures haven't been kind to us. We've played a lot of games over the last 10 days. So our whole session tonight is just purely analytical about what we do, how we do it, and how we can possibly do it better. So, and the penalties, we feel if it goes to penalties, won't be an issue for us. We'll be calm, and again, we'll see what happens and just make sure that whoever we choose, they won't panic, and just hopefully they'll be better at what they're doing than the goalkeeper.
Right, the modern world of non-league football at step 5 as well. Pat, we could and we probably would talk all evening, but you've got some training to take. I've got some other people to talk to. It's always a pleasure to get you on the Non-League Football Show. Wish you well at the weekend, and hopefully we'll be following your progress through to Wembley.
Brilliant. Thanks, Tim.
Well, let's round off the week's news and time to head on over to Non-League Paper Towers, and it's a warm welcome back to the Non-League Football Show to senior writer at the Non-League Paper, Mr. David Richardson. Welcome back, David.
Don't get me started on what week it is. I can barely tell you what day it is.
But what a week. The story earlier on today, I had to pop into a local shop, and the lady behind the counter knows nothing at all about football, but over the years we've had a few chats, and she goes, "Oh, I bet you were really happy about Boreham Wood on Sunday." And it's like, suddenly people know what non-league football's all about and why we're involved in it. I mean, we've got to start with that tremendous story of Boreham Wood beating Bournemouth to set up, a fifth round tie against at Everton in the FA Cup.
Yeah, that's what the FA Cup's all about, really, isn't it? On Sunday, you know, coincidentally, I was at Kidderminster the day before against West Ham, who, you know, did amazingly well there, and yeah, absolutely sort of heartbreaking for them that they didn't win that, or at least sort of even get the chance to take it to penalties and have a go on that lottery. But you know, then obviously Bournemouth were sort of our last team left in the competition, flying the flag for non-league, and yeah, they absolutely did that, didn't they? And amazing win against Bournemouth. You know, coupled with the rarest of Mark Ricketts' goals as well, which I think, you know, 37 years of age now, and people in non-league will have seen him turning out over the years for Woking and Ebbsfleet, and and more recently Bournemouth. And yeah, he doesn't score many from his holding midfield position. But yeah, that's one he'll certainly remember. And yeah, that's what sums the FA Cup up really, in that he was the match winner. You know, I'm not sure what his sort of first goal scorer odds would have been before the game, but they'd have been pretty high, I imagine. But you know, there you go. That's the sort of things that happen in the competition, isn't it? And of course, they knew before the game that if they were to win, they'd be going up to Everton and Frank Lampard's new club next month, which, you know, of course they are now. So yeah, really, really sort of good day for non-league in the FA Cup on Sunday. And yeah, the story continues for Bournemouth.
Well, the story does continue, and I think it was almost a couple of fingers up as well to all those other games that got TV coverage ahead of non-league games earlier on in the competition. And you look, and the two games that were the ones that got everybody talking about, down the pub, but whether in the offices on Monday morning, on social media, they were the two games that had the non-league competitors in.
Yeah, absolutely, and it sort of goes back to, I think, the third round, was it, when no non-league team was being televised live, or at least sort of on sort of one of the main games. And you know, yeah, you look at it now and see what the clubs have sort of done, getting even now to the fifth round is amazing, really. And it's funny because sort of think maybe a few years ago there was this thing of sort of no clubs had reached the third round, or it's the lowest number of clubs that had reached the third round. It's kind of this thing of, you know, what's going on? Why are no clubs getting through? But, you know, it just sort of goes to show that you can have those sort of random years and then, you know, things sort of get back to normal, really. And coincidentally, you probably feel like the standard of non-league at the moment is higher than ever. And, you know, perhaps sort of the likes of Bournemouth and Kidderminster showed that last weekend.
Yeah, and I think, you know, again, further highlighting that standard of non-league and that everybody wants to be involved. We saw the expected departure since the last show, James Rowe from Chesterfield, and former Ipswich Town, Portsmouth, Wigan Athletic, and Chesterfield boss, Paul Cook, unveiled today as the new boss up at Chesterfield. And that's some statement of intent as well, isn't it? I mean, it says about his love for the club, but yeah, having had success as a boss at Chesterfield in the league, I guess he's probably a winner with the fans too. But it says so much that a club in non-league can attract somebody that until recently was managing high up in the football league.
Yeah, absolutely spot on. I mean, you wouldn't have thought that when he was at Wigan and in the Championship, I think, wasn't he? And with Wigan, you know, you certainly wouldn't have thought that not that long later he would be in the National League. Of course, and of course, having managed Ipswich and Portsmouth as well, two sort of really big clubs in League One, to now sort of be a National League manager with Chesterfield, yeah, it was obviously a surprise. But you know, going back to a club, he's very sort of fondly remembered that. It's of course gone down really well with their fans when he took them to the League Two title in 2014, and then the League One playoffs. And really, after he left, that's where everything sort of started to go wrong for Chesterfield. Basically, you know, people look back on that League One playoffs, and you know, that's almost sort of the marker of their sort of turn in fortunes, really. So yeah, I guess now he's sort of the man back to try and lead them back to where they were. You know, it's a little bit sort of tough on Danny Webb, I suppose, who took temporary charge after James Rowe. We had two really good wins against Eastleigh and Dagenham, and then that draw at Stockport on Tuesday night, which, you know, I know they led 2-0, but going down to 10 men and then, you know, Stockport coming back in the way they did, you sort of, you know, thought they were going to go on and lose that, really. And it sort of felt like a big point to not lose in the end. So, you know, I think he's done a really good job of steadying the ship, because you could have very quickly lost three games in that time. And then, you know, not being too dramatic, but suddenly you're sort of a bit off the pace in terms of the title. So, you know, Paul Cook comes in now and, you know, with the team in a really good position, and and flying high. I should add that obviously Danny Webb's staying on as Cook's assistant, which will be an important part of things. You know, I think from what I've heard, he has a very good relationship with the players. Of course, he knows them inside out, having been there since the start of the season, knows the league as well, which obviously Paul Cook doesn't have those aspects to his side of coming in as manager. So, very interesting. And, you know, who'd have thought we'd be in this situation about Chesterfield, you know, even a month ago?
Oh, yeah. I guess Paul Cook's coming in. Promotion is the aim, but as you say, Danny Webb's knowledge of the non-league game is going to be very important as well. If they can't achieve it, because it's so tough at the top there. What we got, 17, 18 games left for most of those sides, so plenty of points. But as you say, if Chesterfield had lost three games on the spin there when Danny Webb was in temporary charge, you know, they'd quite easily be out of the run there. You look at the table there. Boreham Wood with games in hand on all of them. You know, could it be that perfect fairy tale story season for them?
Well, yeah, it could be. I mean, you begin to sort of maybe draw comparisons with Lincoln when they obviously had that really good run to the quarterfinals of the FA Cup and obviously the semi-finals of the trophy that year as well, that they got to. Bournemouth obviously in the trophy this weekend at Wrexham. But yeah, it's going to be a really interesting sort of final few months in that title race. Obviously, a point between Chesterfield and Stockport at the moment. Chesterfield with a game in hand. Then you've got Halifax, who are sort of very much, sort of, I suppose, surprise contenders to be right in that top three. You know, you could say the same about Bromley as well. Bournemouth, like you say, games in hand. You know, if they win those, they're going to be right up there. So yeah, it's going to be a really interesting final few months of the season. I'm not sure, sort of, really in recent years we've sort of had something quite like this building up in the way it is at the moment.
Mm. And with the National League being so good, it's interesting to see an EFA trophy that there's not so many National League teams left in there. We've got the FA Trophy last 16 and FA Vars at last 16 this weekend. And there's actually two all National League ties in there as well, which again also gives a real chance for another club from below the top flight to emulate Hornchurch this season.
Yeah, that's it. Halifax against Notts and as I mentioned, Wrexham against Bournemouth. But yeah, then you've got York and Morpeth. Tunbridge are home to Bromley, Needham Market against Dartford, Stourbridge are home to Solihull, Spennymoor at Dagenham, and Cheshunt as well, with a really big tie going up to Stockport, which will be, of course, massively difficult. But yeah, it does sort of open the door for a team at step two or further down to, like you say, do a Hornchurch from last year, and they'll certainly be looking at doing that now. Interesting weekend coming up in the FA Trophy, like we saw last week in the FA Cup. I'm sure we'll get some more shocks.
Yeah, I mean, literally, three games, three wins, and you're at Wembley. I mean, I suppose probably for those step five and step six sides left in the FA Vars, that's an even bigger carrot. And we know that, you know, success normally in the FA Vars then breeds more success and sort of moving further up the pyramid.
Yeah, that's it. Generally, teams who go into the later rounds of the Vars are having good league campaigns and sort of probably get promoted and look back on a really sort of successful Vars campaign. But like you say, that's certainly going into this stage now, though, all the focus will be on these massive FA Vars ties, because, like I say, they're all of going to Wembley and potentially lifting the trophy at the end of it. It's massive. So, all to play for in the Vars this weekend. And, you know, there'll be some very happy and also some very disappointed clubs at about 5 p.m.
Yeah, I mean, I can't really imagine what it must be like as a player having that sort of carrot just in front of you. I mean, we love going to Wembley and we just sit in the gods and sort of pour our own floss and eat Twixes or whatever. But you know, to play at Wembley in a cup final, must be well, the pinnacle of your non-league career, and I know talking to people that have done it, that it does appear to stay with them. Talking of pinnacles of your non-league career, elsewhere on a managerial front, earlier today, someone that's had great success at non-league, Jim Gannon and Hyde United, they've parted ways with the club. They're worryingly near the bottom of that also tough Northern Premier Division, and it goes to show that there's so many elements that need to slot together to get things right at a club, doesn't it? It's the environment, what facilities, personnel. If something's out of kilter and it just doesn't go to plan, it doesn't matter how good you are, it just doesn't work.
Yeah, that's it. It does absolutely go to show that that's the case, really, in football and management. You know, as you say, some of Jim Gannon's experience, he just hasn't been able to sort of go in there and have the desired impact at Hyde and sort of turn it around. And yeah, they are sort of in a very worrying position, really, in the league in terms of relegation and those bottom spots. I mean, you look at it, and Nantwich have two games in hand. Witten Albion have three in hand on them. And both of those clubs are only 2 points behind. So, yeah, that is a worrying situation. I suppose at the same time, it's sort of a brave decision from the club deciding to make that switch and go for a third manager of the campaign, particularly sort of at this stage now. But yeah, maybe they feel like there's enough time for someone to come in and turn it around. But yeah, you kind of feel if Jim Gannon, with all his sort of experience and contacts, wasn't able to do it, then you wonder who might. But we'll see what happens. But not a good sort of situation for the club to be in there.
No, the wonders non-league. So plenty going on this weekend to report about in the non-league paper. Anything else in particular we can look forward to read about?
Yeah, so I spoke to Mark Ricketts, the Ball and Wood, or one of the Ball and Wood heroes from last week. And my colleague John Couch also spoke to the man of the match of that game, Will Evans, who was really good in the Ball and Wood defence, who haven't conceded a goal during their FA Cup run, which is an amazing stat. I bet Phil Annetts would have been pleased hearing that one. We've got the reaction from the FA Cup, including a little bit of Kidderminster as well, recognising their efforts against West Ham. And it's a really packed edition. We've got all the sort of latest news and features and columnists, plus all the FA Trophy and FA Vars, and all of the league action as well. So it's one of those issues where it's a bit of a jigsaw to put together, and none more so on Saturday night. But looking forward to a busy weekend.
Yeah, one of those more exciting. I always think that the ones that have got so much different things from, the Trophy Vars, the National League, the FA Cup bits and pieces, that it just... it makes you smile even more on a Sunday morning when you're learning about the width, the breadth, the height, the whatever, any other things I should have learned in science about of non-league. I go back to the story of the lady in my local shop that it had an impact on her this week, and that probably meant more to me than any other results I've seen this weekend. It means that people understand about non-league. Hopefully more people will grab hold of the non-league paper this weekend and make sure you do and read it. David Richardson, thanks for joining us on the Non-League Football Show, and we'll speak to you again soon.
Cheers, Tim. Thank you.
And that's it for this week. Thank you to all of my guests, as ever, and for all of you for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us throughout the season and join in throughout the week on social media at Non-League Show. Myself there, at Tim Fuel, FUELL. And as ever, you can find us every week on Audio Boom, on Apple Podcasts, but also Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, CastBox, iHeart, Geo7, Listen Notes, Overcast, Podcast Addict, Podchaser, Radio Republic via your smart speakers, and all good podcast aggregation sites. Stay safe, enjoy your football, thank you, and goodbye.
A Chibber Jabber production. J-I-B-B-A, J-A-B-B-A.